Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
One of the things that has become very obvious to me is the longer you stick around in social media, the longer you really impact folks, the opportunity to interact with others becomes obvious. I want to talk to Mr. Bill Allen, who's had the opportunity to meet some people that you and I would call famous, maybe even super famous. Mr. Bill Allen, we're going to start with Ed Reed. You had the opportunity, I believe, to fly Ed Reed out to the Super Bowl, which I'm sure was really, really cool. But what was it like interacting with a Hall of Fame football player?
Yeah, so I grew up in Baltimore. Like, my middle school and high school years were in outside of Baltimore in a suburb. And the Ravens were it for us. It was the Ray Lewis time. Then Ed Reed came into the equation, both from Miami. One of my favorite players of all time. Like, if I could choose to meet anyone, it would really be kind of like Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. And then obviously you got real estate people and other folks like that. But it was awesome. And I didn't, you know, I had these really high expectations. You know, when you meet someone who's like a hero of yours, you get, there's two things that are going to happen afterwards. You're going to be completely disappointed, or you're going to be like, they're going to meet your expectations or even exceed your expectations. And so you go into these, I've met quite a few people just in passing or business or things like that, that haven't met my expectations. So I try not to build them up too big. But I was like a little kid at Christmas, legitimately picking them up. I was so nervous. I got there early because I flew my airplane to Atlanta and then was going to pick them up. And the plan was we'd fly to the Super Bowl and then hang out at the Super Bowl together and then fly them home. And then I'll go home back to Nashville. And right. So I wasn't sure if I was going to get an interview out of him, what he was going to be like. We kind of had talked about it with his manager a little bit, but it, you know, if he wants to sit in the back the whole time and not sit up front, but he doesn't do a lot of media. He doesn't do a lot of interviews and things like that. So it was, I was hopeful, but unsure. So the whole flight out from Atlanta, we stopped in Oklahoma and then we went to Vegas. He was in the back the whole time. And the he seemed kind of unsure about the airplane. I mean, I don't have like a huge, like a Gulfstream or anything, you know? Right. And then the second flight, I think he was a little tired, but the second flight, he totally loosened up and just was himself and talking. And he was just really down to earth guy the whole time. Like, totally humble, was really great. Just human being. He was talking about, like, you know, his life. I was asking him a bunch of questions. And so we recorded the second flight when he was kind of like awake and, you know, active. And we were all kind of, you know, cutting it up in the airplane. And we recorded it all on audio and on all the GoPros and stuff. I just hit record for all of it. And it was funny. I was asking him about he has lost some family members. He grew up in a pretty, impoverished area. And just his whole life story, we were kind of just talking about that for the 3-hour flight that we had. It was really cool to get to know him. And then he did give me an interview. He sat up front. I asked him if he wanted to sit up front when we flew from Vegas to California for an interview that he was appearance that he was doing, just like a signing and pictures. And he, you know, for 35 minutes, I asked him questions about performance and stuff. So that's kind of the framework of it. But it was really cool to hang out with him. Like, he legitimately treated me like I was part of the team. You know, it was his manager. It was the board, the director of his charity board, and me and him. And us three guys were like his entourage going around Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. But it was all, he was like, hey, here, this is my pilot. This is my pilot, Bill. This is my pilot, Bill. And he introduced me to like Marshall Faulk. And I mean, I have 20 other Hall of Famers that I met that week. And he took me to everything. Like, it was like, no, you know, my boys got to get in too. And it was us three. So it was just really cool. Like, it was going to, and he didn't have to do that, you know? Right. So it was just, he definitely exceeded my expectations for that, at least.
Right.
And you probably asked me a question, but I have no idea what it was in the beginning. So
no, I think this is about meeting your heroes. I mean, a lot of opportunities come your way. And Ed Reed, for you, obviously was, I mean, I can just imagine as you're waiting outside to pick them up, because I know you show up early, you're kind of replaying stuff in your head from when you were a teenager watching the game and he's making an interception or a key tackle or whatever it is. So
but it was so really stressful. Cool. It's like, do I give him a high five, a hug? Do I just say hi? Do I shake his hand? Like I like play chess in all of these situations in my head. I try to think through all the outcomes of like, what's it going to be like? And just like, so I'm like, just be cool. Don't be weird. Don't tell him how much you love him, love the Ravens, like diehard fan, bleed purple, all this stuff. And it was totally different. Like I met Emmitt Smith that weekend, and I remember watching Emmitt when I was a kid. In Thousand Oaks, they had their training camp there. So we like carried the helmets as kids on bikes for the Cowboys. And I will watch him, you know, win Super Bowls and run all just unbelievable. Lawrence Taylor was there. Eli Manning was in there. Dan Marino was in there, but like none of those guys hold a candle to Ed. Like for me, you know, so there'd be like a Cowboys fan and be like, who cares about Ed Reed? Like Emmitt would be like a dream for me. You know, Steve Young was in there. Jerry Rice was in there. Like all these players that growing up I'm standing, you know, and talking to them. And it's just, that's the room that he put me in. So there's, you can be carried from one place to another by somebody else who has the credibility and is established in that space to take you places that you never dreamed possible. Yeah. And that's kind of the ride that I took for those 3 days was like so special to me that I'll never forget.
No, that's awesome. Well, let's flip the script. You also have interacted and worked closely with Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson, again, somebody that certainly in social media, everybody knows ClickFunnels and so much more. What's it been like kind of interacting with Russell Brunson?
Yeah. So I watched Russell from afar for many years. I was kind of pulled in by the owner of Seven Figure Flipping, who was my mentor before I bought the company from him. And he was in Russell's inner circle. So he was learning marketing from Russell. He found him somehow, like reading one of his books, .com secrets probably. And then I went to Funnel Hacking Live with him when it was here in Nashville the first time in 2018. You know, watching, there's 5,000 people there. Like it was huge. It's the biggest conference I'd ever been to. And it's like a rock concert. It's not like a regular, like they open the doors and it's like Black Friday.
Wow.
At Walmart. The people are getting like trampled. There's a stampede. It's wild. People are running for the front row.
Wow.
And there was this group that was always in the front row, like all his inner circle, his mastermind and all that stuff. Yeah. And on stage, like those are the people that are on stage. And I just was like, man, I'd love to be one of those people one day, you know, like I'd love to be on that stage. This is the biggest thing I've ever seen. I don't even know how to do that. But over the course of a few years, you kind of like same thing, build these people up. Right. And watched him and, you know, you see him on stage, you see him in the front of the house. And I always try to see if like the back of the house matches the front of the house. You know?
Sure.
And so what I noticed about Ed was the back of the house was different than the front of the house because the front of the house was like big time celebrity.
Right.
And like rock star, right? And the back of the house was like quiet, humble, relaxed, like doesn't even want to be in the spotlight.
Right.
You know, at all. He just wants to play. And so that was really cool to find out. And with Russell, kind of same thing. The way I got into Russell's world was I paid my way in, like I bought my way in. When he opened up his inner circle again, I joined his inner circle. So he has a $50,000 mastermind program called Inner Circle that was closed for like 2 years. And I kept like joining the wait list and knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. And when he opened up again, they did a call with me and his sales guy was like, hey, you know, we have this, he asked me about my business. I told him about the structure of the business and how much we did in revenue and how many people and stuff. And then he's like, you know, we have this category Kings group. It's $150,000. I was like, oh, I didn't think I qualified for that. He goes, oh yeah, you qualify. I like, all right, I'll take it. I said, hey, I saw you have a $250,000 thing called Atlas. Can I get in there? He goes, no, you can't get in there. And I was like, all right. So what I did was I just tried to figure out, like, I always will go into the room where I'm the dumbest person in there and the least. And so what that did was it gave me a lot of access to Russell at that time. And same thing, he was kind of like, you know, a celebrity. I remember showing up to ClickFunnels headquarters for the first time for the meeting. They got, you know, all the records of like all the awards of everybody. They print out an award for you and they keep one for their office. It's really cool.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't know, it's just like the Grammys were up there. I'm looking at the names on there and all the people that I saw in that world and on stage and all that stuff, and being very in awe of it. And then meeting Russell, same thing, very humble guy, very much like reluctant hero, basically, like doesn't really want to be in the spotlight, but is a brilliant and amazing at what he's done. He's been marketing for over 20 years. He gives credit for people that you would have no idea who they are that have impacted him. I had the opportunity to interview him in my plane too. And it was one of my favorite conversations, because in there I said, Russell, every time I'm with you, you like in that interview, he mentions like three people I've never heard of before in my life that were marketers that he learned from, that he has massively eclipsed them and still mentions their name. Oh. And I was like, you don't hear that a lot. You usually, like, if somebody's smaller than you, you're not bringing them up. They're like, oh, Tony Robbins, or, you know, these people that are way bigger than them. They don't talk about the people who they've surpassed many, many years ago, who are kind of like absent. He still gives credit to those people. It's amazing. I Russell's a huge mentor of mine and inspiration, and always will be. I don't have a single bad thing to say about him. He's been incredible. And he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever had the opportunity to be in the room with. Like, he sees things that other people don't see. He's a true visionary that can solve big problems in his head quickly. But I will say he's definitely not an extrovert. Like, you see him on stage, it is, it can be interesting, you know, for, I feel the same way. I can be good on an interview, but you get me one-on-one, sometimes I feel like, I don't know, maybe a little bit awkward or something.
No.
So, well, you actually brought up Tony Robbins. I remember it was a year or so ago. You actually went out to Tony Robbins' island. Do I remember that right?
Yes, I did. But it wasn't like I was staying at Tony Robbins' his like house there. He didn't personally invite me. I went to a Tony Robbins event, UPW, and they had a charity auction. And so my wife doesn't always love when I go to events, you know, and like leave the house. So I had this idea. I was like, what if, you know, at this event, I happened to win this silent auction for a trip to Tony Robbins' resort, because it was going towards his foundation. Yeah. And then I come home and I'm like, Lucy, I won this at the conference. And then she's like, you know, you should go to more conferences, because I win a trip to Fiji, you know?
Yeah. Nothing wrong. She'll take the trip to Fiji.
Yeah. I always wanted to go to Fiji. I actually didn't realize that you could just book a trip there. I thought it was only for him. I thought it was his private island. I thought he does events there, and that's the only way that you go to Tony's resort. But you can actually book a trip there. So I bought this. I like won this auction. I figured out how the auction worked. I was able to like game it so that I would guarantee that I would win. I just like, I don't know. Hopefully it makes sense. I made a couple bids, and I was like, oh, wait a second. If you bid high enough, it takes people a lot of time to bid up. So I waited till the last second. I put in a bid that was like a couple levels up, and they couldn't catch up. So I won it. And yeah, we went to the resort, and Tony was actually there the week before that.
Okay.
Unfortunately he wasn't there when I was there, because apparently when he's there, like, you know, and you typically like bump into him and see him. I've been to quite a few events. We've been very close to each other, but I've never like shaken Tony's hand or been in a mastermind event with him.
Very cool. Well, the other folks I know you've interacted with, are the Cardones. I've been lucky enough to speak with Elena Cardone. Why don't we speak with Elena? You've obviously met Elena. You've had some conversations. What do you think? What do you think of Elena?
Yeah. So I'll kind of qualify this as well. We went to, I was invited to go to an event that Grant was putting on in San Diego, who like, there were some like real estate influencers and just social media people that they were trying to get over there to be part of their challenge and be an affiliate. So I went over there, and honestly, I didn't have like the sweetest taste in my mouth at the time with Grant. And looking back, it was just really kind of my own problems, my own personal things. Like, his book 10X really kind of like changed my life. I read that book when I was getting started in business, and it really helped me. I listened to it like 10 times in a row. Every time I drive from Nashville to Pensacola, I listen to it. And that book really helped grow my business. It was game changing for me. And then I kind of listened to the news and the media and all the trash that's out there, kind of like bad mouthing him and everything. Yep. So I showed up like, I don't know about this guy, but I'll go. And because some of my friends were going to be in the room and stuff. And he left his vacation. They left as a family. The Cardone family left their vacation a day early from Italy to be there for us. Like, something changed and they had to change the date one day, and he left early so that he would not miss this event that he invited us all to, which I thought was really powerful. Like when they walked in, and then he spent the whole day, like they all did, him, Elena, his partner, they all spent the whole day just like giving and giving and giving to us with just inviting us. And most of the people that were in that room did not affiliate with this challenge at all. They just went there, they ate the free food, they took the information and left. And so I was able to meet him there. And then at his office as well, he invited us to come to his office again, where I still was kind of not sure. And then I went to his office and I was like, man, okay, two for two. Like either this is an amazing act or this guy is somebody that he really wants to help people. And so, and then I had an opportunity to come to his house to spend a day at his house. I got to fly on his jet. And from my Atlanta down to Miami to be at to his house for the day for a mastermind. So those are the times that I spent there. And Elena was kind of in and out in a lot of those and around. And so I didn't interact with her nearly as much as with Grant, but I could tell she's like a huge supporter of the family. She really wants her husband to win. And one of the stories that she told to us that was really powerful is her having to take a back seat to him because she saw this like opportunity for him. And knowing that she couldn't like compete with him, she really had to kind of take a back seat for a while. And I know being like the powerful woman that she is and was, that was really hard for her, but she knew that it would be the best thing for their family and them. And I thought that like all the stories that she told and presentations that she's given while I was there, really powerful. And in knowing her, I think they mean well. I really appreciate what they did. I don't agree with everything that they... I don't believe everything that they believe, but I can tell you what, both of those interactions, especially with her, has been eye-opening for me of what a really engaged, powerful, dedicated spouse could do for a business and a husband.
I think
really cool to see.
Yeah, I think what they've done, I mean, I remember when Grant and Elena had their podcast or whatever they had on the, like every Thursday they would do it together. It was entertaining. I enjoyed watching that. I'm lucky enough to speak with Elena once via Zoom call. She's very gracious, very knowledgeable, clearly knows her stuff. So I think Elena's amazing.
She's brilliant, like really smart woman. And she could, right at that time where she had to take a back seat, she could have built a really big business on her own. But she just knew what they could build with them together and moving in the right direction. And the kids were little. And everything that was going on then, I thought, I mean, that's like a sacrifice that she made that was probably very difficult for the future for them as a family.
No, I agree. Well, let's finish it up with the man, myth, the legend, Grant Cardone, somebody that is very polarizing. You hate him or you love him. I think he leans into that. I think he doesn't want to be in the middle. I think he invites the hate. But maybe that's just my outside opinion. I've never met the man. So I know nothing other than his social media.
No, that's 100% true. Like, and he talks about it very openly with us, with me. And it was hard. Like I remember I did a YouTube video about like this woman, Tennessee fly girl that crashed just south of my airport. And I was like, everybody was bashing her, everybody in the comments. And I just kind of came on and said, look, this is another pilot. This is another human being that lost their life. Like people are saying like, and so I just was defending her. And 90% of the comments on that video, it's the most viewed video on my channel. And 90% of the comments are people bashing me of like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot. Like that was the first time that I really experienced the level of harshness that is out there online. And this is what he goes through every single day. And so he's like, if you haven't gotten a hater today, then you haven't marketed enough, is one of the quotes that he says all the time. And honestly, like those people, like they're driving the views, that video. And I didn't make it to expecting to get like thousands and thousands of comments of people calling me every name from a homosexual all the way to like, I'm in love with this woman. I was like, what is even happening here? Like, this is nuts.
Things can't be true.
Yeah, exactly. They're talking about what I'm wearing and how stupid my face is. Like, I mean, you name it. I had to stop looking at it. But what it did was it showed me that, and that was the most viewed video, still is. And it showed me like, that's like, I don't know. So anyway, he's right. If you want to build a brand and have a lot of followers, for a million followers, you need about 10 million people to hate you or not agree with you or just not agree with you, you know?
Yep.
It's just, that's it. But his saying is like, love me or hate me, you're going to know me and know who I am. And that's his goal, is to just get people to know him. So that's one thing. Now, the same thing with like front of the house, back of the house, when we go back to that conversation, that's what was interesting to me with him. And something that I feel like kind of originally turned me off was like, the person that you see online is not necessarily the person that he really is. And so when you see this, like, so we asked him about it, like specifically asked him about some of his ads that he's putting out where he's like got his hat on sideways and he's like throwing $100 bills. He's driving up in the Rolls Royce to the Gulf Stream, you know, and like, it's all sensationalized stuff, right? It's like, this is made for TV. And he was like, so somebody at the mastermind asked him about that ad specifically. Like, why do you run those ads? And he's like, well, what I'm trying to do, he's like, look, the problem is you're trying to talk to the people that are like you. Like, those people already watch your stuff. He said, I got to break through to a totally different audience. I'm trying to break through. He said, this is him talking. He's trying to break through to the underserved community to show them that real estate is a potential for them. Mm. Real estate and sales is a way out of those bad neighborhoods. And he said, when he looked at his competition, it was rappers and athletes.
Yep.
He's like, those people are trying to be rappers or athletes, basically. And so the only thing that is going to get interesting to them is money. Mm. Like, throwing around money with rap music in the background, hip hop music in the background, going to the plane and stuff. It's the minority community that he's trying to wake up and say, you can do this legitimately. Right. And make a ton of money, and you can have the Gulfstream. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do that path. There's another path.
Right.
And he said, if you saw that ad as an entrepreneur, he said, our targeting was off. Mm. Like, I'm not serving that ad to you. He's like, that ad's not for you.
Right.
So you saw it because somebody shared it with you, or our targeting was off, but that ad's not for you. It's the fact that it's so noisy out there that I got to break through. And then once they come in on an ad like that, then he can start, you know, warming them up. So that was interesting to me, is like being somebody you're not to attract the audience that you're trying to attract and knowing what they will react to. Because when I met him, he was, you know, he's just wasn't that way. He's not like throwing around his money all over the place and like, hey, it's Grant Cardone. What's like, I flew on his Gulfstream. It was me and one other guy there, another marketer from South Africa. And he spent the whole time asking me questions about me and my business.
Wow.
He was not conceited, talking about himself the whole time. How awesome is this jet? Like, those kind of things. He wanted to get to know me, and he was selling me anything. Just an abnormal guy. And I think under all this stuff, that's what's really happening. So there's a lot of assumptions that we make about people and their motives and these kind of things because we don't know them. I will never judge anyone that I don't meet in person again. It's really important now. The Grant Cardone experience that I had is the reason why I feel like I don't care what other people tell me happened or who they are or those kind of things. I'm going to take my time to get to know folks on my own. And there's a quote that I think about that a friend told me as I was telling the story to them. It was eat the meat and throw away the bones. And so what I can tell you is I can learn something from anyone, even somebody I think is 180 degrees out from me. I don't agree with anything that they're talking about I can learn something from them. And so I try to spend my time being that kind of guy now, is like getting to know those folks. But I thought I don't agree. Like I said, I don't agree with everything that Grant does or says or anything like that. But I was very happy with the experiences that I had with him, and I don't have negative things to say about him.
Very, very cool. Well, folks, it's always fun meeting your heroes, front of the house, back of the house, knowing you have purpose when you create content, all great stuff. Mr. Bill Allen, you have a growing YouTube channel. Where should people go to follow you?
Oh, it's in my personal name, Bill Allen. It's pretty easy.
Simple.
Yeah. We went over 6,000 subscribers. Yes.
Yay. Very cool, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely.